show is called Maria. Welcome to Maria. For honesty and to the point news. Opinion straightforward, you can't lose. Get ready, subscribe, let's go. Welcome to Maria. Get to know Maria. Popular opinion or not, you know you're gonna hear a lot. From guests with credentials that say, I won't let America go astray. The show is called Maria. Get to know Maria. Listen to her truth and views. You're bound to love Maria.
Hello world, Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to another episode of Food for Thought with my co-host Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. But I guess in these days, you're eating for your life. It's even more serious than that. Your life depends on what you eat. How you doing, Will?
You got that right, Maria. Absolutely. That's really true. And I'm so glad that you're helping to raise consciousness about this issue.
Well, somebody has to. You know, I get a magazine called The Week, and they had a couple of articles in there. One of them, it's pretty short, it said, between 50 million and 100 million animals are used every year for scientific and cosmetic research, according to the Newfield Council on Bioethics. 50 million and 100 million animals just for scientific and cosmetic research. That's, you know, of course, a drop in the bucket, I'm sure, to what the food supply uses up.
Well, yeah, that's true, you know, but still, that's, 50 to 100 million living individual sentient beings who are being tortured to death, basically, mainly for no reason except to make profits for the industry. And it's an industry that really doesn't do any good to anyone, and that's been well shown. In a lot of research, that the results that are obtained from research on animals are basically not applicable to human beings because we're so different from them in so many ways. And not only that, we artificially induce physical states of stress and cancer and all kinds of things into them, and then try to, you know, test drugs on them and so forth. So it's a completely artificial situation, and really has nothing to do with the way our human physiology and psychophysiology works. And it's based on this idea of seeing us basically as a piece of meat. You know, each human being is just a piece of meat, and the animals are just a piece of meat, and the medical pharmaceutical complex is in the business of making money off of that worldview, which they propagate everywhere through the media and disempowers everyone. And the animals bear the full fury of the violence. That it causes, you know.
Absolutely.
And all this stuff, like you're saying, like this recent swine flu thing, and these are all interconnected in so many ways. And I think people have to really, really, really start questioning everything they hear from the food complex. And an animal agriculture, pharmaceutical, medical complex that has the banks lurking in the background, and they make money off of sick people and devastated landscapes, and we're destroying the earth and destroying our own human ecology as well. Mm-hmm. And these poor animals get brutalized in the process. And I really think that there is an awakening, though, that's happening, that people are starting to understand the implications of food, and that's really important.
Right. Well, you know, I just had somebody recently ask me why I was a vegetarian, if I did it for health benefits. And I said, no, I did it for compassion for the animals. I said, just so happened my health improved, but that wasn't the reason.
Exactly.
I think, you know, that's a short, sweet, it's a short, sweet answer to that question, because I know sometimes people go on like forever. But I found that was all I needed to say. Now, I have a really cute story. I know you'll like it, just to show how smart animals are, especially cows, because We like to convince ourselves that they're stupid animals or they have no feelings, but that, of course, is as far from the truth as could possibly be.
Right.
I got this out of the same magazine. It says, a cow named Molly, who seemed destined to be turned into chopped meat, is now living peacefully on Long Island, New York. Molly had just been delivered to a slaughterhouse in Queens last week when she bolted from her trailer. After leading police and animal control officers on a street chase, she was finally captured and placed in a city animal shelter. When the cow's owner agreed to give up any claim to the animal, it was turned over to Rex Farr, who runs an organic farm and animal sanctuary. Molly's neighbors now include two burros, more than a dozen goats, and a few ponies and sheep. I'm a vegetarian, Farr said. No one will be food on my farm.
That's great.
Isn't that a fabulous story? I said, could you imagine the cow running through the streets of New York with the cops chasing him? I'm surprised they didn't taser her.
Right, a terrorist cow. Oh, man.
Now, obviously, that cow has been in worse than, you know, a slaughterhouse, must have known what was coming, and bolted. I mean, obviously, she had the opportunity to bolt, you know, but people that think cows are stupid and don't know what's going down, obviously, haven't read The Week this week.
Yeah, these animals are much more intuitive and much more tuned in than we ever give them credit for, and I've seen it myself when I visited these different places. I mean, I've seen it when I've gone to packing houses, stockyards, and slaughterhouses. They're really upset. I mean, their eyes are looking around. They're wildly in their heads. I mean, they know what's coming. And I remember when I was a young kid on a farm in Vermont, and we were going to kill this dairy cow because she wasn't giving enough milk, and how she resisted so strongly us trying to bring her to the place where we were going to kill her that she actually broke a heavy metal chain that was attached to her by a pickup truck. They really know. And I also remember once I was not too long ago, actually, I was visiting a couple of pigs that were in a similar kind of situation. They were in a farm they were in a sanctuary, you know, and the place where they were, there wasn't much grass. And so I remember they were on the other side, you know, maybe about, you know, 20 yards away, and I picked a little bit of nice grass, which was on the outside of the fence, and I held it in my hand, and then I just had the thought. I thought to myself, okay, now I'd like to give some of this nice grass, this fresh grass, to these pigs. And as soon as I thought that thought, this pig just raised her head, looked at me, and came running over. I mean, I didn't move my one muscle. I just had the thought, and she instantly got it and came running over. And so these animals, I think, have capacities that we humans also have, but which we are disconnected from because our culture forces us, as we're growing up as little kids, to shut down our hearts and disconnect from our natural wisdom and eat the flesh of brutalized animals and the secretions of brutalized animals. And we don't, and we just learn not to think, not to feel, not to care. And that's why we can, you know, let this earth be devastated. But I think there is an awakening that's starting to happen. People are starting to feel again. And I think that's what we have to encourage. People are starting to feel their feelings again, you know, and not just think that they're just a piece of meat and animals are just a piece of meat. And and to see the spirit, you know, the spiritual dimension of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that story reminds me of our interconnectedness to everything. You know, I was taught many years ago by Sun Bear that everything in nature, animals, plants, etc., respond to a human being living in a sacred manner. And the fact that you were just thinking that and the animal came towards you, obviously your connection is strong. And I think people have forgotten that, but who didn't love the movie The Horse Whisperer? How many people have used people like that, whether to communicate with their house pets or with animals that they raise?
Right, absolutely. We all know that, I think, and it's really a tragedy that we've, I think, lost our connection with the world of animals. I mean, there's so many beautiful animals on this planet, and they are more and more just, their habitat's being devastated and they're being just rejected. They've been rejected, I think, since we really started herding animals about 10,000 years ago, and we changed our mentality towards animals from being mysterious and powerful and spiritual cohabitants with us on this earth that we loved and that we were connected to as fellow beings, to being mere property that we own, that we use, that we kill, or being pests, varmints that might attack our livestock, badgers and prairie dogs, wolves and coyotes. And I think, it's really, we're at the point now, actually. I was just talking to a friend of mine who specializes in elephants, and she's been over many times to Africa and also just recently to Thailand and to Southeast Asia. And she said, we are at the position right now where we could very, very well see the complete extinction of all elephants in our lifetime, within the next 20 years. That species could very well go extinct in both Africa and in Asia. They're being actually hunted for food in Africa. As more and more people are going hungry, they're just killing them and eating them. Besides the black market trade in ivory, the protections of elephants are pretty much drying up. And in Asia, the same thing is happening. And so I think we have to really take a long, hard look at our food habits and our mentality of eating animals, because that's driving this whole devastation of nature. Mm-hmm. And so I really hope that we begin to understand and remember again what Sun Bear said, how we're part of this larger, beautiful circle of life here on this planet. And I'd also actually, if it's all right with you, talk a little bit about this this whole thing, I think, that a number of your guests talk about and that people are concerned about, which is the New World Order and the Illuminati and all that, and how what the connection with eating animals is with that. So can we go into that?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm interested, so let's go.
Yeah, I've really been following this whole thing for many years. I don't talk about it that much, but I really feel, more and more people are becoming aware that there's this elite, that controls the different institutions in our culture, the banks, the corporations, the medical complex, the religious complex, all these different complexes, and that they've been perhaps for centuries, perhaps for millennia, trying to consolidate their control, of just these few people, few families, over the masses of human beings. And it seems to me that on one level, they're getting closer and closer to fulfilling the dream. As we move closer to a massive economic collapse, as we move closer to the reality of microchipping the entire population, as we move closer to mandatory vaccinations for people because of some contrived pandemic. And I think people don't realize it, but I think that it's possible in vaccinations to get not only all kinds of horrific toxins and things that could really shut down our immune systems and shut down our spiritual connections, but also very small microchips can be implanted in those as well.
Absolutely.
I really think there's this whole move by a few to control the many. And the one thing that I never hear David Icke, Alex Jones, or whoever it is talk about these things ever make the connection that, from my point of view, is the number one most important connection, is that I think the reason that we all of us on this planet, who basically love our families, and we want to live together in peace and harmony, we don't realize that the reason that we are so easily controlled and manipulated by just a few is the food ritual underlying our culture, is the fact that we're forced to eat the flesh of brutalized animals as little kids, and that this is essentially an act that just cuts at the very core of our sense of integrity and compassion and our sense of love and joy and creativity, our sense of being in a benevolent universe where we are honored and loved and respected and that life is good. I mean, we hate to think of what we're actually eating. And this is something we're doing over and over again. And it's something that's so horrific. And yet we numb ourselves so extremely to it that it makes us very easily manipulated, because deep down inside we have a low sense of self-esteem because of what we're doing to animals. And one of the things I think that people realize, and they talk about the Illuminati, for example, these people who have so much power and are perhaps the ones behind the Bilderberg, these different groups and so forth, that they very often engage in rituals. They're very much into rituals. They're into satanic rituals. They're into these rituals that give them an upper hand and give them power, a sense of power. And meals are rituals. And I think I mentioned once before, but I was really very much impressed when I heard the story of this woman that I met who had been raised in a family that was part of a satanic cult. So they were actually practicing satanic rituals. And the main satanic ritual was forcing children to eat the flesh of animals. That this was something that made them feel so terrible about themselves that they were then very easily manipulated, very easily controlled, very easily dominated. Mm-hmm. They lost their basic sense of confidence, really in their own integrity. And so I really wish, and I really hope, that people will start connecting these dots, because it's getting really serious. I mean, I feel that there is an awakening on this planet, that ultimately the plans of the Illuminati to control everyone will fail. And I also feel that ultimately everyone will go vegetarian, or everyone will become a vegan. Everyone will eventually realize that, we have been given the bodies that really thrive best on a plant-based diet, that there's no nutrient that we need that we cannot get from plant-based sources. I've been a vegan now for almost 30 years, 29 years. And it's been just fabulous. I mean, there's no, I haven't even been to a doctor or a drugstore in all that time. So and there's a lot of other people, like me. So it's really, I think, essential that everyone who is beginning to awaken to this whole, how Bush Sr. talked about the New World Order and this idea of destroying our currency, destroying the nations, and having an order that's basically a world fascist dictatorship. If we keep eating animals for food, that's unavoidable, because what we are sowing, we will reap. If we keep enforcing on billions of animals an absolute reign of terror, how can we think that we're not going to experience the same thing ourselves? How can we think that we can live in peace and joy and happiness and abundance while we're causing billions of animals to be just terrified, devastated, have their babies stolen, have their bodies raped and killed and mutilated?
Well, you and I have already discussed many times that what they do to animals, they eventually do to humans. The way they've tagged animals, the way they're chipping animals now, the way they treat animals. What's the difference between, Animal Farm and Gitmo? People really got to get that they are what they eat. If you eat animals, you're going to act like an animal, and that's something that I never wanted to admit to when I was not a vegetarian. The other people you mentioned, I'm sure, are not vegetarians, so they're not going to go there on their shows. But I can tell you that I have said for years now, Will, they will kill us all, and the easiest way to do it is through our food. Our food and our water. And, luckily other countries like Germany end up saying no to Monsanto, win in court, incidentally. But here we don't even know the bastardized food that we've been eating since the early 90s.
Right. Oh, I'm telling you, the food, especially the animal foods, but, you're right. I mean, it's, I can't even imagine eating foods that are sourced from animals nowadays. These poor creatures are not only hyper-confined, but they're given so many drugs and hormones, and even so-called organically grown, cage-free, and all these things are, you know, they're basically just marketing ploys by large corporations to make people feel good about eating misery and suffering.
Right.
And,
well,
and they still concentrate a lot of toxins. Animals always concentrate toxins.
Right. Exactly. You know, years ago, I forget which doctor it was I had on the show, but his opinion was that every flu that we get in this country comes from eating chicken. And he had said, if you take that chicken out of the package and dip it in your toilet bowl, it won't get any filthier than it already is.
Right. Yeah, it's true, because, you know, the way they're raised and then the way they're slaughtered, there's fecal matter permeating the air, and then when they're sprayed, they're dunked through this boiling hot water, which isn't cleaned, and then they're sprayed with high-speed sprays, high-powered sprays that just drive the fecal matter deeper into the pores of their flesh, so that it's microscopic, but it's everywhere. Both chickens and turkeys. I think it's always the flu season is always when people start eating a lot of turkey.
I'll pass on that. I could tell you this: I felt so bad for pigs all over the world in the past month or two. Talk about the poor pigs getting a bad deal. When I saw that Egypt wanted to cull all their pigs over their swine flu fear, I thought that was totally insane. And I said, once again, the animals get to pay for what we most probably have created in a laboratory.
Right. Absolutely. I know. It's interesting. There's a lot of people talking about the connection now between Smithfield and its huge mega industrial pig farm down in Mexico, and how that's a perfect breeding ground for all kinds of flu influenza viruses that would never have any chance of developing naturally. And that's true. I mean, it's all true. The fact that we are hyper-confining these animals, we're giving them huge amounts of drugs, and so the influenzas and bacteria both are they're mutating much more quickly, and so they're developing super strains much more quickly. And then we're just really devastating the immune systems of these pigs and putting them together with other animals as well. And it's not happening just in Mexico. I mean, it's happening here too in the United States, but it's happening all over the world. And so, especially of course in China, there's a lot. There was Michael Greger talked about in one of his books the connection between SARS and the ways animals are raised in Southeast Asia and in China, and all crammed together. And absolutely true. I mean, there's no question that Listeria and Campylobacter and E. coli and Salmonella and influenza viruses are just absolutely going wild in these operations, and that basically all of the plagues that have ever affected humanity. I mean, I read a book on this not too long ago. Have every single one of them you can track to human beings, mainly Europeans, living with animals that they were killing for food. I mean, and living with them and getting the diseases that came from those animals. And that's why, of course, when they came here to the Americas, the Indians weren't doing that, and so they were very vulnerable and they just died from these things. But that's what we are potentially creating. Although I have to say, from my own point of view, these kinds of like this H1N1, you know, to me it looks really like something that was just like a weaponized vaccine that was created in a laboratory for a purpose. And I think people should do everything they can to refuse a vaccination and to refuse to cooperate with this whole thing.
Absolutely. Yes, you know, whatever they vaccinate you from is exactly what you're going to get. You know, but if you think about it, you know, we've had such indoctrination. You know, when you look at people have different attitudes towards different animals. Okay, most Americans would never think about eating a dog or eating a pony. Okay, but when it comes to cows or pigs or whatever, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I think there was a song, I want to call it Swing on a Star. I don't know if you remember it or not.
I know that song, definitely,
okay.
Yes.
But if you think about it, it really was another subliminal way to make us turn against the animal kingdom.
Right.
I can remember the words of that fairly well about the pig. You know, a pig is an animal with dirt on its face. Its shoes are a terrible disgrace. It's fat and lazy and extremely rude. And it goes on like that. And, you know, if you don't care or whatever or a jig, you can grow up to be a pig.
Right.
And I think that, you know, nations have used that kind of slang to justify attacking other humans, the same reason. You know, those people are animals or they're roaches or, you know, they're a bunch of rats. And we've so aligned the animal kingdom that, you know, when the swine flu first was, you know, in the news 24/7, Will, all I could think of was that book Animal Farm that we were forced to read when we were kids. And I said, maybe this is animal's revenge, you know, Animal Farm on hyperspeed.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's totally, it's so great you brought that up. I remember, there's that song, really, it was considered to be just a funny song, you know, like a really cute, funny, witty song, but it was totally humor at the expense of pigs, at the expense of fish. I think I can't remember the other one, it's cow maybe. But you're right, it's these are the animals that, since we're eating them, we have to completely disconnect all of our natural sense of respect, you know, for them. And once we practice that and get so good at it and do it every day, then it's just a short step from doing that to doing that to saying that about people from Iraq, say, for example, that we're going to kill. We just disconnect from them. And I think the whole hope for us as human beings is to say no to that kind of mentality and say yes to a mentality that includes and really embraces all living beings in the sphere of our kindness and compassion. That's what spirituality is about. It's about one thing, really. I mean, it's about love, right? It's about looking at beings and instead of seeing them, how I can abuse them, use them, manipulate them to my own advantage, rather to enjoy them, celebrate them, care for them, try to bless them. You know, that we're here to bless others, to bless the world, and to find our unique way to bless the world. And that's, you know, like what you're doing. You know, I think when we do that, it doesn't mean our life will be easy, but it means our life will be meaningful. It'll have real meaning. And if we're just here abusing and harming others, there's no meaning in that. And our lives get empty, and we become the perfect consumers. You know, we think we'll get happy if we can just buy the right combination of products at Walmart, the right combination of foods, you know, that will satisfy us, and very often they're foods of misery and death and other products. And this whole religion, really, of the corporations, in a sense, force on us is the religion of consumerism, that salvation will come when you buy the right thing. You know? It's just, you know, that there's no way. I mean, this culture, if it continues on that path, is for sure going not only to suicide, but to ecocide. And so the underlying, the real new world order, if it, you know, in a positive sense, is when we question all of these assumptions that our culture forces on us from the time we're born to see beings as things, and just don't do that anymore and treat all life with respect. And like when someone asks you why you're a vegetarian, and you say, yeah, for the health of the animals.
Right, exactly.
You know, for the love of the animals and for nature, you know, and the earth. And it just so happens that, I feel great too. You know,
right.
Which is one of the great
That's just
effects.
A side benefit. But, you know, I got the best line from your book when I read it, you know, way back when, where I just say, you know, I don't want to be a party to what's being done to the animals. And that ends that conversation, Will. I could tell you the conversation's over. There's no more questions, and I found a way not to have people bust my chops over it, literally. And I'm like, okay, there's a good conversation ender. I just don't want to be party to what they're doing, and that ended it. Let's get back a little bit to the swine flu. Yeah. They have made connections with all these all the runoff and sewer basins from all these factory farms and all the filth and disgust just sitting there rotting in our water system. That's another side of raising animals for food that people don't want to talk about, is the amount of waste they put out and that there's nowhere to put it.
Well, you know, Maria, this is really something that I think if someone, for some reason, you know, has some kind of inner blind spot, and just no matter what happens, they just don't care about animals. You know, they just don't care. But if they care at all about humans, you know, or about themselves or their loved ones, then there's no way I think anyone could take out their wallet and pay for the flesh or secretions of animals because of what it does to the water and to the air and to the, especially to the water, I mean, to the soil, to the entire living ecosystem. And right now, there's two things, really, I think that we're aware of more and more. It should be, I think, even publicized more. But one is we are going right into an extremely severe crisis over availability of fresh water. And fresh water is becoming, you know, some articles call it the new gold. I mean, whoever has water will survive, and there's going to be more and more populations of people who are not going to have access to fresh water.
Right.
And so what animal agriculture is an absolutely huge double whammy, because on the one side, like you're saying, it's basically an operation that converts fresh water, grain, which take enormous amounts of water to grow, land, resources, petroleum, natural gas for fertilizer, all these inputs.
Right.
And converts it to the most horrific thing. It converts it to animal protein, which is toxic to human beings, saturated fat and cholesterol, which are toxic to humans, methane, which is devastating the environment, nitrous oxide, which is devastating the ecosystem, and a major cause of a lot of the climate problems we're having, and huge amounts of sewage. And the amounts of sewage are almost impossible to even comprehend. 130 times the amount of sewage is created by animals raised for food in the United States as humans. So you think about the entire human population creating, you know, X amount of waste, and it's very, you know, there's all kinds of regulations in place to make sure that it will never get into the groundwater. We're raising animals for food. Factory farmed fish are really a big problem. And pigs are a huge problem. They make these gigantic lagoons of their waste. Chickens, cows, turkeys, and all these animals emit enormous, 130 times as much waste by volume, and the waste is more toxic than human waste, much more toxic because the animals themselves are living in much more toxic environments.
Right.
They're given much more toxic food. And amazingly enough, it's unregulated. I mean, whatever farmers want to do with this, I shouldn't even call them farmers. These huge agribusiness operations want to do is okay. They can make a lagoons. They can let it sit there. The lagoons, the liners break. It goes into the groundwater. It goes into the rivers. They spray it onto fields.
Right.
I mean, there's people whose health is being devastated by this. And the tragedy really is twofold. It's not only the pollution of the water, and it all ends up eventually going into rivers and eventually going into the ocean. And besides the pollution, the sewage, there's the other problem of the huge amount of fertilizer that's necessary to grow all the grain that is fed to these animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hundreds of millions of tons of grain every year are fed to animals. About 80% in the United States, probably closer to 90% of the grain grown in the United States is fed to animals. And that takes huge amounts of fertilizer. And so when that fertilizer runs into streams and then goes into rivers and then goes into the ocean, it basically creates zones where algae bloom, and that takes away all the oxygen. And so there basically become these gigantic dead zones now, not only in the oceans, but increasingly in rivers and in lakes.
Uh-huh.
From, again, it's all from animal agriculture.
I know.
And somehow in the ongoing conversation on NPR, on the New York Times, on the wherever you look, no one talks about these things. No one brings it up. Even Michael Pollan barely brings it up. I mean, whoever it is, no one addresses these issues fairly and directly and openly? How can people, you know, how can people make any kind of wise decisions when they don't really understand and know what's happening? And of course, part of the problem is they don't want to know either.
That's the other side of it. Will, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to talk about, briefly, Obama's solution for our health insurance crisis. So stay with us. You're listening to Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
You've heard Maria discuss many books on the show with various authors. Did you know that behind all her work, Maria knows there's a way out of the insanity and has written her own books about it? For a limited time only, Maria is offering a package of both her books, Reinventing the Wheel, The Universal Wheel, The Tool of Global Unity, and Reiki 1-2-3, with a low price of $30, which includes shipping. Order yours today through the site or send a check to Maria Publishing, Inc., P.O. Box 30789, Phoenix, Arizona, 85046. Get the sanity, peace, and protection from the madness you need. Order yours today. Offer good while supply lasts. Now back to the show.
Okay, and if you really want to learn about your interconnectedness to every living thing and how easy it is to do the right thing, then I strongly suggest taking advantage of my book special while you can. Will, before the break, I was reading the news today. Yeah, every time I look at the news, I think of that Beatles song. I read the news today. Oh, boy. One of the solutions the Democrats have come up with for health insurance is to not only tax people that already have it, but to also raise the taxes on alcohol and sugary drinks. Saying the reason for that is that sugary drinks create so many of the disease, blah, 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 people have, and their need for health insurance. Nowhere, of course, was the mention of taxing the meat industry or paying tax on meat, which I would think creates more disease than anything else people can put in their mouth.
You know, that's a great point. And I was just the other day thinking about this, and I actually wrote to someone and said that I think the next step really is that there should be a tax on meat, and I think also on cheese and eggs. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think one of the main reasons is that, two main reasons. One is it's a disproportionate cause of illness and sickness, and basically the research is very clear on this. You know, the industry, unfortunately, you know, science is very, it's not that difficult to prostitute science. If you can pay for a study, you can get the results you want.
Right.
But when you do the mega studies, the mega analysis of, you know, hundreds or thousands of studies, you know, the overall trend of the studies is very obvious that the more animal foods people eat, the higher the rates of diabetes, of arthritis, of heart disease, of about four or five types of cancer, and of obesity. And, you know, these are the main kidney disease. These are the main long-term cause, you know, expensive health issues that people have and that are really costing us so much. And really, the health crisis, you know, the health care crisis in this country is actually a food crisis. That's the reason there's such a crisis, is because you have so many people eating a high plant, you know, I mean, a high animal-based diet, that you have this massive flood of sick people.
Right.
And that means huge profits, of course, for these corporations. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, they're working very hard to force people to eat, you know, a high meat, high dairy diet. And I think this whole thing of blaming the sugary drinks and blaming alcohol, really, I mean, not that I'm in favor of those things, obviously, but,
right,
but they are minor players.
Right. Well, they have no problem. They had no problem raising taxes on cigarettes by 60%.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
But here you have the meat industry, which our tax dollars subsidize, which I find offensive since I don't use the meat industry. And meat has been proven time and time again to cause more disease than anything else. So I'm sure there's a lot of meat eaters sitting back saying, oh no, they can't tax our meat. But these are the same people that were happy with cigarette taxes going up or alcohol taxes going up because they said, well, I don't smoke, I don't this, I don't that. And I said, you know, eventually our government will dictate every part of our lives unless people take a stand. But to look at the hypocrisy, okay, I don't use sugary drinks. I don't, you know, I don't encourage it. Soda is nothing more than chemical soup and poison. But if people want to drink a soda, that's their business. What do I care? You know, nobody's dying for that soda except themselves. But to partake and to say, oh, you know, meat shouldn't be taxed, well, why not? I mean, you know, we've shown many times on the show, and even Ronnie Cummins, that if we actually had to pay the true price of meat, no one could afford it.
Right. That's absolutely true. It's subsidized on a massive level. I mean, the agricultural subsidies in the Farm Bill are billions of dollars, and they're basically, you know, it's 90, I can't remember exactly percentage, but it's, you know, well over 90% of it is for animal foods. It's not, hardly any of it is for broccoli and spinach and oranges, you know.
Right.
It's really for, it's for the meat, dairy, and egg industry. They are the ones with the huge money and the political clout that have the lobbyists there to really make sure they get massive subsidies. I list them in my book, but, you know, in the World Peace Diet, but there's subsidies all the way down, you know, grazing subsidies, water subsidies, irrigation subsidies, transportation subsidies. The whole school lunch program basically was conceived as a dumping ground for the massive amount of cheese and meat and junk meat and eggs that are raised on, you know, in the United States more than anyone can eat because there's some, you know, it's subsidized and people and farmers are paid even if they can't sell it because they know the government will buy it. What will the government do with it? The government will foist it on the children, and so you know, these poor kids are ending up eating horrible food in the school lunch program. I mean, it's just loaded with fat, cholesterol, animal protein. They're already now, and the pharmaceutical industry, of course, is making a killing of that. They're able now to say that, you know, kids need to have cholesterol-lowering drugs and drugs for diabetes and drugs for obesity. And I just read the other day, I'm sure you probably already reported on this, how this Minnesota family, they refused... They tried to refuse their 13-year-old son getting chemotherapy for cancer, and they were told they would go to jail if they didn't.
Yeah, they issued an arrest warrant. They issued an arrest warrant for the mother today. I think that's ludicrous.
Oh. Well, that shows. There should be red flags everywhere. I mean, medical treatment is for cancer. The Western medical model for treating things like cancer is terrible. I mean, chemotherapy doesn't work. Everybody knows it. And who's to say that it's any better than any other form of treatment, from homeopathy to acupuncture to Christian Science or shamanism?
Right.
I mean, those have probably just as good or better. I mean, a better rate of success than chemotherapy, and so this is completely against the Constitution, and it shows the power that the food and chemical industry have in the drug industry in dictating to us what we're going to eat and the drugs we're going to have to take when we eat it.
Right.
And so this is really the core to the whole thing. This health crisis is really a food crisis. It's really a poisoning of the earth and killing of the animals. And like you say, there should be some kind of a tax when we're causing so much misery and so much environmental devastation. That's the other thing. I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners have heard that, you know, it's made big headlines that the city of Ghent in Belgium has declared every Thursday is a meat-free day, you know, that, you know, in order to preserve the environment. And, you know, that's just one example of people saying, okay, we're going to try to make a policy to protect the earth and not eat so much meat. And in Taiwan, 10% of the people, actually, I just read recently, have pledged not to eat any meat. 10% is a lot of people in order to preserve the environment. So I think we should start taxing people who refuse to hold the common good and want to just to kill life, you know, kill animals and pollute the water, pollute the air, and destroy. And plus, you know, we have to pay. Everyone pays for their cancer and heart disease. We all pay for it in the form of higher prices for everything, because that's how the the insurance industry just passes on its costs. It all ends up in the higher prices.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now I know that you and your wife were in England. Any highlights on that tour?
Oh yeah, that was very interesting. We were there for a couple of weeks last month, and we went over there to speak. I went over there to speak. Actually, at something called the Incredible Veggie Show, which is the largest vegetarian conference in Europe every year. And Heather Mills was there, Paul McCartney's former wife, and she was very impressive in how she spoke. I spoke also, and it went really well. I mean, it was absolutely standing room only. They had people out in the hall trying to get in, and it was really great to see the level of enthusiasm in England for plant-based diet and for vegetarianism and for veganism, and the understanding there, I think, is spreading just like it is here on a number of levels. That not only is it much better for us spiritually and environmentally and on the health level and for the animals, but that if we just don't have the option anymore of brutalizing animals for food. You know, it's just everywhere you look, it's just the same messages being blasted at us.
Right.
If you have any ear or hearing at all. So
right.
It's nice to be in sort of a different culture, you know, and hear and see their approach, you know, the approaches that they take. And they actually, I think in a lot of ways, are ahead of us in terms of some of the legislation for the way the animals are treated and so forth. But I think in the United States, we're somewhat ahead of them in the on the popular level of just getting people to go vegan. I think we're doing pretty well here. But I think it's just a matter of time, honestly. I think every day it's a movement that's growing and growing. It's the healthiest movement, I think, really. One of the healthiest things is people awaken and start to think, well, what can I do to make a better world? What can I do to stop the enslavement of humanity? And what can I do to stop the total devastation environmentally of the earth? Well, there it is, right there. What are you eating?
Right.
Something that everyone can do. You can't just go ahead and impeach Obama all by yourself, or pull all of the troops out of Afghanistan all by yourself. But you can stop the killing, and it's a lot of animals. People don't realize how many animals. Someone eating the standard American diet, you know, for a long time people thought it was about 70 animals per year, and then people started to realize, oh, it's actually more than that. It's about 108. And but now people are saying, well, actually, when you think about it, and think about all the fish that are killed to feed, that are fed to pigs and chickens and cows and so forth, the number goes to over 1,000. Actually, the average American is eating over 1,000, killing over 1,000 animals a year, every year, in the food that they eat. If they ever eat any fish, you know, there's a massive system in place. It's hard to even imagine, but you know, huge amounts of fish are being fed to mammals and birds, and so the oceans are being devastated by this. So when we decide to eat a vegetarian diet, a vegan, a plant-based diet, we are liberating thousands of animals. I mean, what a great thing to do, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I had lunch this week with some of my listeners who have gone vegetarian. And one was telling me about how great he feels, how much less joint pain, you know, physical ailments that have just disappeared besides, you know, more mental clarity, you know, and I didn't pay him to say it. So I was pretty happy for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people, you know, if you got a lot of physical misery, you know, you might need to really look at, you know, what are you putting in your body? You know, you and I, Will, we don't even touch on all the additives in food, all the poisons, coloring, you know, chemicals, et cetera, which obviously is put into place to weaken our immune system so we can be led around by the nose by the one world order crowd.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, there's a lot of misinformation that just sort of pervades the whole blogosphere and the whole media. There's still so much misinformation. People somehow think, for example, that you know, if they eat organic meat or organic dairy or eggs, that somehow that's healthy, or if they eat that it's worse maybe to eat some grains or vegetables, and that maybe is going to cause, you know, there's maybe more pesticides in an apple or something like that than there is in a piece of animal product of some kind. And I think, you know, all the research is very clear on this, that number one, there are laws in place that say how much pesticides can be put on crops that are going to be fed directly to humans. There are basically no laws at all on how many pesticides are put on crops that are going to be fed to animals.
Right.
And so they can just spray the heck out of them, whatever they want to do. And then on top of that, to really contemplate the way pesticides and toxins in general concentrate as you move up the food chain, and to realize that, you know, if you eat just a little bit of anything, even if it's organic, so-called organic, these animals are concentrating toxins. That's what they do, and there are toxins in everything. And so the mammary secretions, for example, mammals, most toxic, so, you know, dairy products are extremely, even if it's an organic dairy, the standards on organic dairies are, number one, not very strong, and number two, there still are huge amounts of toxins in dairy products that have nothing to do with whether they're organic or not. There's something called casein, the main protein in animal milk, which T. Colin Campbell called the number one most potent carcinogen to which humans are routinely exposed. There are growth hormones that are carcinogenic. And so even if you have organic, you know, so-called organic dairy, there's all kinds of hormones that a cow naturally puts out there, estrogen and other hormones that mess us up. And as well as the other toxins and in a typical, you know, non-organic dairies and for chicken and turkey and other kinds of meat, they're fed huge amounts of fish. They're fed lots of other products that I won't go into because they're so gross, like the sewage and all that. But to just remember that if we want to eat a clean, healthy diet, plant-based diet is the way to go, and organically grown, of course, locally grown is good too. But that's what we should really be focusing on.
Absolutely. So, Will, where are you at, and what do you got going on? Uh-oh. Did I just lose Will? Sounds like I did. Let me see if I can get him back.
Yeah, good.
Okay, there you are. So, Will, I was just saying, where are you, and what are you up to, and how can people come down and see you?
Great, yeah. Right now we're in South Carolina, and we're heading up to the Washington, D.C. area. And if anyone is in that area, if you know anyone, I'll be giving lectures there. On Saturday, I'll be giving a lecture in Washington, D.C., and then on Sunday in Baltimore, and on the World Peace Diet, on all these ideas, on liberating ourselves. And then we'll be heading to Columbus. I'll be giving a lecture there, and then Chicago area, some lectures there. And then we'll be going to California. I'll be flying out there and speaking for the National Animal Rights Conference and also for some other conferences in Southern California. There's a big Jane conference and some other speaking engagements. And we have our entire itinerary, if anyone wants to see where we're going to be, at the website, which is worldpeacediet.org or worldpeacediet.com. And so we have a blog there. We have updates. We have our veg inspiration of the day, and we're happy to be in touch with people and hope to see some folks at some of these presentations.
Excellent. Well, you still are the traveling Wilbury, that's for sure.
Yeah, we are.
Well, Will, thanks for another good episode of Food for Thought. Hopefully we put some food for thought out there.
Right, Maria. And I just want to encourage everyone to just realize that besides what we've been saying, to remember that all of us eat plant-based foods. You know, all of us eat salads, we eat pastas, we eat sandwiches and things. And the whole idea is that it's really delicious. It's not any kind of loss or depletion of our vitality. It's just something that adds so much to our well-being. and anyone can join in and anyone can do it. And that, the most important thing is to just to make a start and plug in, find out ways that you can inform yourself.
Absolutely. And of course, you can read The World Peace Diet, still the best book on the subject.
Well, thanks so much.
All right, Will, I'll talk with you next month. Good safe journeys.
Thanks, Maria. Much love to you, and have a great time in your new place, and keep up the great work.
Thanks. I'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, yeah, bye.
Will Tuttle. Well, that is a good question. Why not ask Obama? Why not tax the meat industry? Why keep taxing everything else? Just go for the gusto. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys
next
time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.